Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That is God. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. This is taken from the King James Version. Easy read. It's from the 1611 translation. And all the scriptures that are spoken by God in the Old and the New Testament are in red letters. It's wonderful. This man blessed me with this in Jerusalem. It's a wonderful translation. Father, we thank you. Open this up to us. Have his ears to hear. Have his hearts to receive. Let this impart life in Jesus' name. Yeshua, our Savior. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, okay, look. That's what he's saying. I'm going to send my messenger, which is, he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek. All right, this is addressed to people who are seeking the Lord. Not to everybody else who's going their own way and doing their own thing. Those who are seeking the Lord. This messenger shall come to his temple, us, even the messenger of the covenant, the blood-bought covenant, the only door was the cross to enter in. If anybody enters in, Jesus said, by another gate, except for the sheep gate, they are robbers and thieves. If they're preaching to you anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that is the door to enter in to the spiritual realm, they are robbers and thieves. Whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. When God shows up, when the messenger, when the Holy Spirit shows up, that power of conviction for everything that's dark and wicked and unclean with you is going to smote you right on the floor. You're grounded. You will not stand up in his presence. Verse 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. This is repentance. This is his burning fire. Jesus came and said, I'm baptized the Holy Spirit of fire, a refiner's fire, to cleanse and purge you, to sanctify you, to make you holy. And if you're walking in sin and you're preaching the Holy Spirit and that you're the truth, you're a liar. You do not tell the truth, because he only accepts the offerings of righteousness, and his Holy Spirit will cause you to come into his righteousness. Nothing we've done except for say, yes, Lord. Or we refuse him. We refuse the blood of the cross. We refuse that life, eternal life that he's given for us. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Here's the words of the Holy Spirit now, Jesus, God. And I will come near to you to judgment. God wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. Listen to what the prophet says. It says, the restoration of all things that the apostles and prophets spoke of. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. Oh my gosh, people who practice sorcery who are seeking the Lord, you bet they are. And against the adulterers. Yes, they're adult spiritual adultery. They're worshiping other gods, their self, their flesh, their desires, their lust, their carnality, their soulishness. And against the false swearers. And those who don't speak the truth, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages. Oh, will you just do it for free for me? Because I deserve it. The widow, those who have no husband, no one to stand with them, and the fatherless, who are marginalized, and they turn aside the stranger from his right. Now, this is the sin of Sodom, one of the sins, inappropriate judgment over those who came in and had to have justice rendered to them. And fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. They take no account of God or his teachings or what he says. They make up their own rules as they go along that suits them, situational ethics, whatever's convenient and benefits and prospers and puts me ahead. And they don't have any rule of standard, rule of conduct for civil, moral, or spiritual direction and conduct. And you see, the problem with the world isn't political. We all know that that Satan runs all the politics. The problem is the world is spiritual. That we are all in darkness. The whole world is under the governorship of the dark realm and Satan for a short time. But his kingdom is coming, and it is an ever-increasing kingdom. And that rock that's cut out of the mountains without hands, as it says in Daniel, is going to crush every idol. But it's without man's hand. This is the sovereign work of Almighty God. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's only God's mercy that he doesn't smoke us all. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? All right. God is saying, okay, you used to seek me. You've gone away. You've done your own thing. You know, it's all about you. Narcissism, steroids, and your self-indulgences. But look, turn to me, God says, and I will return to you. Seek me. You will find me. But it's going to be through some purging fires here. And God's going to cleanse his temple. So the messenger comes. But you have said, wherein shall we return? Oh, we haven't done anything wrong. Oh, we're okay. We're Christians. Really? According to whose standard? The standard of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness in the coming judgment, not laughing and drunkenness and a personal revelation. Will, verse 8, a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. What were you saying? This is Old Testament tithes and offerings. In the New Testament, it's everything. It's not just 10%. It's everything. You owe God everything. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you owe him complete obedience in every aspect. And you should withhold nothing from him. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You've taken what bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, and that there be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. But you said, well, this is mine, and I own it, and God gave it to me, and so I can do what I want with it. Okay. All right. And God's going to do what he wants with you also. If you say you're seeking him, you will be reproved. And if you turn away from him, he'll turn away from you. If you turn to him, he'll turn to you. And he'll speak to you how you withheld from him what belongs to him, whether it's his stewards, his servants, whether you oppress the poor, whether you've lied or sworn falsely, all these things. But if you turn to him and bring all complete surrender into his house, then he'll turn and send you a blessing that there's not room enough. He's good. He wants to bless you. But man is so fallen, we think we have something to do it, that our own self-righteous, or we haven't done the law, or we haven't performed, or whatever. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Everybody wants to come to America. Because it used to be a delightful land. It used to have the blessing of the Lord upon it. It used to walk in the Ten Commandments in prayer in schools and as a standard for the judgment on the walls of the courthouses. It no longer does that. But God, but there's been a remnant. There's been some who pray. There's been some who's seeking the Lord on all different levels. And God in his mercy has not consumed us. Because we've been a delight. America's like the golden land. Make no mistake, it's not that anymore. But we are, have been given a reprieve. A reprieve by the Lord himself. That he might raise up the remnant that will bring restoration. Spiritual restoration. This is not a political or God bless me club deal. This is a spiritual issue. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? And you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know what Romans chapter 1 says? That they didn't acknowledge God as the Father, their creator, and they were given over and given over. And what was one of the judgments of being given over? Homosexuality. If Sodom and Gomorrah, who had no Bible, and God destroyed them. And Lot was vexed every day, but God knew how to deliver the righteous out of judgment. Every day, if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, how much more the judgment for the unrighteous rulings in the court systems and the homosexual leaders of this nation, Virginia? It is a judgment from God. And where does the buck stop? It stops at the feet of the church. Because we have a church that has been that has no authority and no power and is going their own way. And they need to return to God. They need to seek God on his terms, not their version. According to the Holy Scripture, the full counsel. Repent, turn to God, teshuvah. Seek him while he still may be found. There's a sure window here. We have no guarantees. With the nuclear ignition potential over this earth, that we will be saved and delivered. Only those who call out, only those. But as a nation, will we be saved and delivered? Yes, we're glad that many things have been turning around and we're trying to undo the wickedness of the last Democratic convention who kicked God out in North Carolina. They don't want God. It's the party that kicked God out of their because they're run. And now we're finding out by occultists, by the Clinton occultists, high-level witchcraft. Then verse 16, and God's going to be a swift witness. What did he say here? I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, all you who have Harry Potter on your shelves. A swift witness. He's coming to test judgment. We are under judgment. And against the adulterers and against the false swearers, or it says there's another interpretation, I think it's accusers or liars, and against the same thing, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, says God. They mock God. They mock God. Can you believe that? There's no fear of God in them. Verse 16, for the remnant. Then they that feared the Lord, okay, not those that didn't fear the Lord, those that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God hasn't forgotten us in the midst of our sufferings and the oppression and the vexation of the wickedness that goes on every day in Sodom and Gomorrah, California. God hasn't forgotten us. He's heard our prayers. He's listening. His judgments are here. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then you shall return, you shall return. What are you going to return to? You're going to return to God and his ways, right and wrong. They shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. That distinction, that black and white differential, no more will of the situation ethics. If it's convenient for me, and we can teach our children to, you know, bow to Allah and all this Buddhist garbage and syncretism and, oh, teach, you know, child pedophilia and brides and you know, genderless bathrooms. Give me a break. Chapter 4. For behold, the days come that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And believe me, God has a laser judgment. He can burn the house next to you down and keep your house. And all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That it shall leave them neither root nor branch. He's going to uproot the wicked in the day that's coming, that's burning like a furnace and a refiner's fire. But to you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember you, the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. These are the two witnesses, Moses, the servant of God, and Elijah. This is the law and the Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is in you and sanctifying you, you keep his laws that have been revealed through the Word of God, the book. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The vision I had a couple of days, God backhanded. He was huge in the solar system. He backhanded the earth, and it began to reel in its orbit and shudder and tremble. The end of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, Yeshua concealed. The New Testament, Yeshua, the Son of God, revealed.